Thatcher Keezer, the town administrator, town of Marblehead, is joining us here on MSO News Sports. And Thatcher, welcome. Thanks for joining us here.
Thanks, Bill, for having me.
Well, you are, what, about 6 months into the job in Marblehead? We'll talk about that in just a moment, but can you share with us some of your background, Air National Guard, and also former mayor of Amesbury? So give us some background on Thatcher Keezer, if you could.
Sure. I've sort of the last 30-plus years have led two lives, a civilian life and a military life. On the military side, I joined the Air Force, active duty Air Force, when I was 19 years old, spent 5 years on active duty, lived in Little Rock, Arkansas for 2 years, and Germany for 2 years over in Europe, and got a great education living overseas and seeing different perspective on things. Came back, went to Salem State College, now Salem State University, and got a degree in economics. And went into banking for 5 years, and after that, found my way to the Mass Municipal Association, where that's a nonprofit association that represents Massachusetts cities and towns. So I worked with town managers initially, and then I was a legislative analyst, or AKA lobbyist, for city and town government, where I really got steeped in, you know, policy matters for local government. And one thing led to another, where I, from there, ran the Mass Clean Water Council for a year and a half, working with cities mostly, dealing with water and sewer major issues, and then went to the Metropolitan Area Planning Commission and helped create the Metro Mayors Coalition, where I specialize in working with mayors on solving major public policy issues. From there, City of Beverly, my first time inside a city hall working as Director of Purchase and Contract Administration. Did that for a year and a half working for Bill Scanlon, and having seen mayors, working with mayors and how much fun they have, got myself elected as Mayor of Amesbury in 2005 and took office in 2006. So I was mayor for 8 years. Moved on from there, where I spent time working for Mass Development, running Devens, which is a former Army fort being redeveloped into basically a community. After that, 4 years as the Chief Operating Officer for the City of Framingham under a brand-new city charter, working for the first-ever mayor of Framingham, Yvonne Spicer, or Dr. Yvonne Spicer. And then when she didn't get reelected, tried my hand at early retirement, did that for a few months, decided that that's not for me, and then the opportunity in Marblehead opened up, so I came here with a breadth of municipal experience. But during all that time, after 5 years of active duty Air Force, I joined the Air National Guard, primarily to pay for tuition bills, but stuck it out, got my commission as a lieutenant, and spent most of my years as a combat communications officer. So it's living in the field, providing high-tech communications. Climbed the ranks and retired in 2018 as a lieutenant colonel, where I was the director of cyberspace operations for Massachusetts. So it was a wonderful run. But I guess the point of all this is, in the military and in my civilian life, I've utilized the experience of both of those experiences to try to succeed in both endeavors.
Wow, I can't imagine even keeping track of all of that. That's amazing.
I look back at how I, you know, handled two careers and you know, a family with a young kid growing up. I don't know how I pulled it off. I really don't when I look back. But no, it was a terrific experience.
Gotcha. All right. So before we got a number of different Marblehead issues to discuss. So with this, as you mentioned, you know, vast experience, as I'm mentioning, describing it, in municipal government. So Marblehead has tight, narrow streets. Here comes winter. Here comes snow. What is the winter planning in Marblehead? Is there anything different or new for Marblehead here in 2022-23?
Well, as far as the answer, what's new, I'm not sure. Everything's new to me coming into Marblehead, but I do know, in working with the department heads and the staff, we've already started, you know, we've held some meetings on winter planning and snow removal planning and such, much like most municipalities, sort of leveraging the military logistics background experience in the initial meetings as I'm learning from the, you know, the department heads, the police chief, fire chief, DPW director, and others as to, you know, how they've been handling their operations up to this year, and, you know, what needs to be done to prepare for the winter season this year. It seems to me Marblehead has, you know, made some recent changes, I say, in the last few years of how it handles off-street parking or parking restrictions, in that, you know, the restrictions are at night for allow snow operations, but to allow on-street parking basically during the daytimes, unless there is some extreme situation that dictates otherwise. You know, the questions I asked at the table were looking at what's our equipment that we have that's available to do the operations. In a general sense, we don't have all the equipment we should have. So my desire is to have that inventory list of what we have and what we need so that we can put the request in to get the equipment we need. What we've done, for example, in Amesbury, when you look at looking at DPW equipment and the equipment for snow plowing, it's a spike in the requirements on vehicles as compared to the rest of the year. So the issue is, why don't we look at renting the additional equipment we need for the winter to meet the demands of, you know, snow operations where there's lots of trucks and drivers that are needed for short periods of time. As compared to the fleet we may have that's designed for the rest of the year. So those are some of the things that we're doing. I guess the takeaway is we are specific planning, preparing, and making sure that we have the resources or we put in the requests for the resources we need to meet whatever winter throws at us.
I want to get back to resources and so on in just a moment. It's kind of one of your big focuses. I want to maybe close with that in just a moment, but we have plenty of time to talk about it. But before I do that, I want to just have you give me a quick assessment of what's up with the waterfront, because there have been a number of different proposals or different plans to shore up the waterfront or work on the waterfront. So where is Marblehead at right now, being a waterfront community?
Yeah, so it's an important issue in dealing with rising sea waters and more extreme weather. It is a big topic. So Marblehead has received grant money to do a study of that sort of hazard mitigation planning for the waterfront, and so it's done a series of plans and public meetings moving forward, and it's advanced to, I guess, it's the third stage, where it's looking at specific projects, designing specific projects to make the harbors more resilient to rising seawater. So it's raising some areas up, building whatever seawalls or walkways, areas that are at a higher elevation than they currently are, to ward off rising seawater as well as more extreme storms. So it's very much in a planning design phase. And once you have plans and designs, then you seek the funding to actually construct. So it's been an ongoing project for the last several years. It's handled by Becky Curran, who's our planner, is the lead on that. And I've been able to participate in some of the public sessions as well as the internal meetings on that effort that's been ongoing for I guess the last year or so since we got the original grant.
Okay, so here we are coming to the end of December. So we're in what I guess town administrators or municipal administrators would call out as the financial planning period, which started months ago. I realize that. But so Marblehead has a town meeting government, which I believe it's still in May. You have your town meetings and always well-run town meetings in Marblehead. I used to cover that years ago for the local radio station, about 100 years ago, and it was a fantastically well-run town meeting. But now, tell me about some of the issues that you see that as far as governing Marblehead, budgeting Marblehead, planning, as you kind of even outlined just a moment ago with the snow kind of planning that you're doing. What is it that you're looking at that Marblehead as a town can look at as far as budgeting moving forward?
So Marblehead is under the same strain as many municipalities in Massachusetts and elsewhere in that the cost of providing government services is rising, and we all know in the recent time frame the cost of doing business has increased even more significantly. And so part of the discussion at the select board level, community level, is the potential or the question of whether there needs to be a general override to underwrite the town services that have been pretty much level funded for a number of years. So the first part of that effort, people are looking at me, is you know, what are our needs? What will be our financial needs coming into the next fiscal year, and do we have the revenues to support it? One of the challenges I'm finding in that effort is the financial software systems as such are just not up to the task to providing the information, at least I need, to be able to answer the bigger questions as to what is it we're going to need. So we're at the beginning of the budgeting process. I've been working hard to nail down, you know, a good historical report of the last 4 years of budgets. That's been a challenge, but I'm pretty close to nailing that down in order to put that out to the department heads to get their requests for the next fiscal year. Typically, when I've done budgets, it's you know, ask for what do you need to maintain level services, meaning providing the same set of services we're currently providing, and what are the you know, the contractual cost increases, inflationary cost increases that push that number up. But I also ask, what are the new things that you desire that makes our ability to provide services better? It may be an investment in the short term that gives us a return in the long term, either in productivity or savings in some other way. So I will be, you know, asking department heads to provide that. And then figuring out where we are as far as providing the set of services we provide compared to the revenues. And the issue is, if the need for services exceeds the revenues, what is it we need to ask from the taxpayers to one, pay for the services we have, and then secondly, for the new things that the community desires or improvements to our productivity, you know, how much more do we need to match that? So that's the big questions to be answered. I want to be able to provide the community good information so that the taxpayers can make a good choice, make their decisions based on good information. One of the things we've done is implemented a new budgeting software called ClearGov, and it's going to provide us with the tools to be able to provide the financial transparency out to the decision makers, the policy makers, the finance committee, the select board, but also provide that information in a better vehicle out to the public to make good decisions. You know, in the military, you know, commanders want good information. They want the right information to make the best decision, not, you know, they don't want to hear what people think they, you know, they want to hear. They just want the truth, and that's kind of how I operate. What's the truth in the numbers, and let's put it out there and let people make decisions based on really good info, and that's our effort right now.
Well, let me just follow up with a question. So this new software, so give me an example of something that provides you that you didn't have before using or implementing this software, and that you probably don't have being able to look back 3 or 4 years with the systems that you had in place. You know what I'm saying? So what is it? What is the new information you're able to get that's useful?
So we're going to load, you know, a number of years of historical data in. That is in process. What the software will allow us to, rather than relying on individual spreadsheets from different departments all being compiled, managing version control and making sure the links don't break, all the usual challenges of a dispersed information system like that. It provides one source of putting all the data. It's a web-based system, So it's just a log on in design. Those of us at the administrative level have a bird's eye view of everything. The departments have a detailed view of their areas. But the power will come in that the software allows us to run scenarios, to be able to say, you know, if the cost of municipal government inflationary rate is such, you know, project out those costs. If we, when we go into the next round of contractual negotiations with the collective bargaining unions, what's the scenario if we do a 1%, 2%, 3%, you know, pay raise? What's the impact out, you know, pushing out over the years? The software allows us to run these scenarios and see what things will look like, you know, up to 10 years from now, based on these scenarios. So it allows us to do better planning, to have better that type of information to make decisions. But it also comes with, you know, what's called a transparency module. So it allows the information to be out on the web browser and for residents to be able to click in, see the top line view of here's where all our money goes, be able to click on a department, fire department, and drill in and see more detailed information about those operations. So what's important to me in the conversations with the select board members and others, if there's going to be an ask for additional resources from the taxpayer, that the information we provide provides credibility to the ask. And credibility comes from the public and others to be able to see the information that we're seeing. And that's what this software helps us to provide in a much better fashion than traditional spreadsheets and PDF documents.
All right, so I've got my last follow-up question here. So let me preface this by saying, people that go to the grocery store know that the prices are going way up. We also know that if you need more money in the town, with Prop 2.5, the town is limited to, if I have it right, to only increasing revenue 2.5%, which is way below what our current inflation rate is. So what is the thinking now in cities and towns around Massachusetts, and I guess in particular Marblehead, looking at today's inflation and looking at how it, and maybe, I'm sure that's exactly what you're talking about here. What is your take finally on all of that?
So, yeah, I mean that's been the challenge for municipalities since 1980 in that regard. But so you have your 2.5 increase that you're allowed. You have new growth. So if you have economic growth, that provides additional revenues. And then you know you have your state aid from the state, and the state's pretty flush in cash right now, so we expect that it'll at least match last year's and probably more. So on the revenue side, you know, it in Marblehead it comes to about 2.9% increase in the revenues when you factor all those things in from what I've seen. So it's a little bit more than 2.5. So the issue is on the expense side, and as you've identified, and everybody's feeling at the grocery store, the cost of services of everything has gone up. So the first step in the process from my perspective on the expense side is, are we maximizing every dollar we have? Are we operating at the most efficient level that we can? Because that's part of the credibility story, is that if we are doing the job of spending wisely, maximizing every dollar, whatever the difference between what we need for expenditures and what our revenues allow, you know, when we say we need to get some more, we need, you know, the override, folks feel like that it'll be money well spent, that the dollars will be maximized. And that, again, goes back to credibility, in that we're doing everything we can on our side to provide value for the dollar before we ask for, you know, the taxpayers to help meet the gap in that demand.
Perfect. Thatcher, anything else you want to share with our listeners here as we right into the holiday season now, but anything else that you want to share about Marblehead or the job as town administrator?
Well, I would say it's been 6 months, and it feels like 6 weeks. It's been moving so fast, and, you know, whenever you come into a new position, it's like drinking from the fire hose. I have thoroughly enjoyed my time here, despite whatever challenges I face in this job, just like any other administrator, mayor, manager. Absolutely have enjoyed being in this community. People have been friendly. Even the people who have called me for to complain about something have been actually friendly about it. And so I've thoroughly enjoyed that, and looking forward to continuing working for the folks here in Marblehead.
Wow, friendly complainers. How does that work out? That's fantastic. Yeah.
Hopefully it stays that way. It might be just my honeymoon in the position, but it truly has been great here in Marblehead. It is a terrific community to be working in.
Here's how it's going to go, Thatcher. You pick up the phone and the guy will say, Thatcher, this is my second call to you.
Exactly, right? I'll try to make sure that those aren't necessary.
Exactly. There you go. Exactly. Thatcher, great talking with you. Welcome to Marblehead. And again, hopefully we can talk again soon. But good luck. There's a lot of work to do. And we really enjoyed having a chance to talk with you and learn a little bit more about what you're dealing with in Marblehead.
Well, thank you, and thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah. Thatcher Keyser, Town Administrator, Town of Marblehead, here on MSONewsSports.com.